Over the coming weeks, we're going to work our way through this chapter. But this morning, I want us to actually jump ahead in the chapter to a little section and to a verse in particular that I hope, as we start a new term, with all that we've been going through and are going through, will really encourage us for this term ahead. If you remember at the beginning of lockdown, I jumped ahead in the letter to chapter 4, and we looked at that verse about not being anxious and praying and knowing God's peace. Well, this morning, I want to jump forward in chapter 4 and to some verses, and a verse in particular to hopefully really encourage us all for this term ahead and this time ahead. We will then go back and go through the chapter, so don't worry about that. But this morning, we're going to read verses 10 to 13, and particularly we'll be looking at verses 11 to 13 and 13 in particular. This is what we read in these verses, Philippians 4 from verse 10, where Paul says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again." The Philippians had sent him a gift through Epaphroditus, "though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And boys and girls, you'll have a sheet hopefully, and some of you I know fill that in, and that's great that you can do that. And Philippians 4 verse 13 is your first answer on that, which says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And I don't know about you, but that's a verse that I need to hear and be reminded of and trust in afresh at this challenging time. And I'm sure that many of you need to be encouraged by those words too. This is a favourite verse for many Christians, isn't it? It's a verse that I often see pinned on people's fridges. Have you got it on your fridge or somewhere around there? Or I see it framed on people's walls. It's a verse we often learn as children, isn't it? "I can do all things through him," or through Christ who strengthens me. It's a verse that wonderfully reminds us that not only is Jesus our Saviour who rescues us from our sins, but he's also our strength, whose power is sufficient to enable us to cope with and to keep going in and to keep serving and following him in all the ups and downs of life, in whatever life throws at you. And maybe at this time you're feeling like life has been throwing so much at you and you're feeling weary and weak and worn down. And maybe you're wondering, how can I cope? How can I keep going? How can I keep having joy and peace and faithfully serve and follow the Lord in the roller coaster of life with the weaknesses and needs that I feel? Well, the answer the Bible gives is the answer it always gives. The answer is Jesus, who is our Savior and who is also our strength for the journey. But as we think about this verse, it's important not just to take it out of context. And when we look at the context, we find that Paul here is speaking about contentment. In verse 11, if you've got a Bible, you can see it says there, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am," here it is, "to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So Paul here is speaking about contentment. Now when we hear the word content, I'm sure many of us immediately think of someone who is satisfied and happy. So maybe you think about a baby that's just been fed and changed and cuddled and is now lying asleep with a little smile on its face. And you think, that's a contented baby, at peace, satisfied. If you work in a shop, a contented customer is a satisfied customer, which is what you want, isn't it? But in Paul's day, the idea of contentment, and this word contentment, was slightly different. Actually, the word that he uses for content in verse 11 was a very important word in Paul's day. It's a word that the philosophers and thinkers were all talking about and striving after. In fact, according to the Stoic philosophers, contentment was the highest of all personal attainments, the highest of all virtues and goals. But when these philosophers were thinking about contentment and using this word, they weren't so much thinking of satisfaction, they were thinking of sufficiency. Contentment was about having an inner sufficiency that would enable you to cope with life, whatever was going on around you. It's a little bit like the modern day idea of a stiff upper lip, where someone is trying to keep going and carry on and stay calm, whatever's going on around you. And this is what many people were striving after in Paul's day, an inner strength, an inner power that meant you could be at peace and cope and stay calm and carry on no matter what the circumstances of life. It wouldn't matter if you were rich or poor, if you were going through trials or living at ease, because your peace, your satisfaction wasn't based on these things. It wasn't based on your possessions or your circumstances. It was based on an inner strength, an inner sufficiency. That's what contentment was about. And that's the word Paul uses here. And actually, Paul tells us here, doesn't he, that he'd learned this kind of contentment. Contentment, the sufficiency to cope and be at peace in the ups and downs of life that the Stoic philosophers and others were searching after in Paul's day. Paul says, I found that. I have that. Verse 11, he says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Verse 12, he says, it doesn't matter if I'm abased, if I'm humbled or abounding, if I'm full or if I'm hungry, if I'm abounding or suffering need. Paul knew how to be content no matter what was going on in his life. He had a sufficiency that enabled him to cope and keep going and be at peace that wasn't dependent on outward circumstances. And so let's ask, first of all, this morning, where did this contentment, this sufficiency come from? That's the first question, the first heading for this morning. Where did Paul's contentment, his sufficiency, come from? Where can you find true contentment and sufficiency in the ups and downs of life? Well, the answer Paul gives here is very different to the Stoic philosophers, isn't it? This is where they part company. For the Stoics, contentment was about a self-sufficiency, an independence, an inner strength that would enable you to cope and keep going in the ups and downs of life. But Paul's contentment was very different. It wasn't about a self-sufficiency, but about the sufficiency of someone else. It wasn't about an inner strength, but about an outer strength. It wasn't about being independent, but about being dependent on someone else, on Jesus Christ. Which is why Paul in verse 13 then goes on to say, I can do all things, not because I've got some inner strength, not because I believe in me. No, I can do all things, he says, how? Through Christ who strengthens me. Boys and girls, this is your answer on your sheet. Not self-sufficiency, but Christ-sufficiency. That's what contentment meant for Paul. It was about realizing that whatever he was going through in life, whatever life threw at him, Jesus Christ would be for Paul all that he needed, would provide for Paul all that he needed. Paul was trusting that no matter what the Lord called him to go through or to do or to face, he would fulfill the promise that he makes in verse 19 of this chapter to supply all his need according to his riches in glory. In Christ Jesus. Boys and girls, children, that's on your sheet. To supply all your need, God promises, through Jesus Christ. And because Paul really believed this, he was able to be at peace, to be satisfied, to cope whatever was going on in life. That's why in verses 10 and 11, he tells the Philippians, who he's writing to, that while he was very thankful and rejoiced that they'd shown care for him and sent a gift to meet his needs, he didn't want to speak in regard of need. He wasn't fishing for presents and gifts from them. He wanted them to know, actually, that even if they hadn't been able to send him a gift, he wouldn't have been cross and worried and anxious, because he knew that Jesus would still be with him and would strengthen him and would give him everything he needed for what he was facing, even in prison. Because he had Christ, he knew he had everything. In other words, Paul wasn't dependent on the sufficiency of the Philippians' gift. He was dependent upon Jesus. Jesus was his savior. Jesus was his strength. And Paul knew then that Jesus had loved him and given himself for him so that he could be forgiven and have eternal life and peace and joy. And so Paul knew that whatever the circumstances of life, he could be contented, because in Christ he had every spiritual blessing that would truly satisfy him. And more than that, Paul knew that if Jesus loved him enough to die for him, then that he could trust him in all the ups and downs of life, that Jesus would strengthen him and provide for him to enable him to keep going and serving the Lord. And so for Paul, whether he was in prison or whether he was preaching to crowds of thousands, he looked for his strength and sufficiency, not in himself, but in Jesus Christ. And so let me ask you this morning, where are you looking for your strength, for your sufficiency? Are you seeking to be your own savior, your own strength, your own sufficiency? Have you bought into the lie of this world that tells you to believe in yourself and then you'll be able to truly cope and live this life? Well, if you are, then you're seeking to rest and rely on something that is weak and wobbly and will ultimately let you down. Because the promise of the Bible is that it's only Jesus Christ who is the sufficient savior that we need to forgive us for our sins and to be the one who can strengthen us as we seek to follow him in this roller coaster of a life that we live. As a believer, it's only through Jesus's strength that you can live faithfully for him in a challenging workplace where you're the only Christian, or where you can settle into halls of residence in a university as you move somewhere and you're the only believer as you seek to be a witness in that environment. Or as you seek to bring up your children in a way that honors the Lord, where you're so tired and you're struggling for patience. Or to serve the Lord in the church in ways that you feel small and weak to do. Or just to keep going in life, in the kind of year that we're going through, and you're wondering, how can I keep doing it? It's only through the strength and the sufficiency of Jesus that we can meet these circumstances and cope and carry on and be at peace. So where does true contentment, true sufficiency come from? It comes from Jesus, the savior and the strength of all who trust in him. But secondly, I want you to notice when Paul's contentment existed. When was he content? When did he have this sufficiency to cope? And the answer of verses 11 and 12, and boys and girls, are you ready for this next answer? He was able to have it in all situations. Verse 11 tells us that he had learned in whatever state he was to be content. You see, Paul had learned not to rely on his circumstances and be controlled by them, but to rest upon Jesus Christ and his strength and be controlled by that. And that was true in the good times and true in the bad times too. Paul certainly had some very bad times in his life, didn't he? Verse 12 tells us that there were times when he was abased, literally when he was humbled and brought low. He tells us there were times when he was hungry, times when he suffered need. Even as he wrote this letter, he was in prison. He was waiting for trial. He was possibly going to face death. He was suffering for Jesus' sake. And yet here he tells us that he was able to be content in all these ups and downs, and particularly these downs of life. He was able to cope and be at peace and keep serving the Lord because he knew the strength of Christ. We see a very practical example of this, don't we, in the life of Paul. He tells us about it in 2 Corinthians 12, where he tells us about his thorn in the flesh, some big problem that he had that he wanted to get rid of because it was seemingly hindering him in serving Jesus. And so he prays 3 times, take it away, Jesus, take it away, Jesus, take it away, Jesus. And Jesus doesn't take it away. He says, no, I'm not going to take it away. But then he makes this promise. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Boys and girls, that's on your sheet. My strength, says Jesus, is made perfect in weakness. Jesus didn't take Paul's problem away. Instead, he gave Paul the grace, the strength to cope with it. And because of that, Paul was able to carry on his work for the Lord. He didn't despair. He didn't give up. He kept serving Christ all through the power of Christ working in his weakness. And we need to see the same today, don't we? You and I need to see that having this Christian contentment means being able to face the disappointments of life, face the times when circumstances are very tough, face the times when you're humbled and brought low. Face the times when God seems to be taking things away from you and not answering prayers. Face the times when God calls you to serve in ways that seem too difficult for you. And not to say, oh, I'm going to give up. I'm going to despair. I can't be happy until my circumstances change. No, having Christian contentment means being able to face all these things. And yes, you'll find it tough. And yes, there'll be tears, but through the tears, you'll be able to say, but I can cope. I can keep going. I can be at peace. I can be satisfied. I can keep serving the Lord, not because of my inner strength, but because of his strength at work in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But having this contentment isn't just about relying on Jesus in the hard times. It's also about relying him on the good times as well. In one sense, it can be easy, kind of, to throw yourself on Jesus and get down on your knees and pray when things are difficult. But what about when everything is going well? What about on the good days? On the days when you're promoted? On the days when you see fruit? On the days when there's plenty of money in the bank? Do you stop relying on Jesus and think you don't need his strength on those days? Do you start relying so heavily on your good circumstances and your material possessions that actually you're looking for your peace and satisfaction in them so that if they're taken away, you end up falling apart? Do you start to look for your strength and your joy ultimately not in Jesus, but in the things that Jesus has given you? It's a danger we can easily fall into. It's a danger that God was often warning the Israelites about. Do you remember in the Old Testament when they were going through the wilderness, that when they were facing troubles and difficulties, they would often cry out to God and God would help them. But as they went into the promised land, God said, be careful, beware. When you're blessed with crops and food and land and homes and children, don't forget me. Don't forget the one who's provided all these things. Don't think to yourself, my own hand has provided all these things for me. Don't stop to love and trust and serve the Lord God who saved and kept you. And yet so often Israel in times of blessing did become proud and did forget the Lord, didn't he? And it can be easy to do. At the beginning of lockdown, when we had a prayer meeting, many people came to that straight away. But as time has gone down, maybe some of us have felt like we don't really need to pray so much. We've worked out how to cope. We kind of lost our sense of need, even in this time of difficulty. And that can be so easy to do. Well, Paul here reminds us that his Christian contentment affected him in the good times as well as the bad. In the times when, as verse 12 puts it, he was abounding and full, in times of peace and prosperity. In those times too, Paul knew what it was to really be content, to be happy, to be at peace, not ultimately because things were going well, but because he was relying on Jesus Christ. Because he knew that whatever happened to him from one moment to the next, he had a Savior who loved him, who blessed him with every spiritual blessing, and who would be with him and provide for him all that he needed. And it was that truth that was an anchor to Paul in the bad times and the good. When Paul had plenty, he knew that that plenty had come from Jesus. And so he gave him the praise and the thanks for it. And when the plenty was turned to poverty, he knew that even those things came from the hand of his Savior, and that he was working for good in Paul's life, and that he could trust that even in his poverty, Christ would be with him and would be his Savior and his strength and enable him to keep going until that day Jesus took him to heaven. So where does this contentment, this sufficiency come from? Number one, it comes from Jesus, the all-sufficient Savior and strength of those who trust in him. When does it exist? Well, it exists in all circumstances, in whatever state you're in the bad times as well as the good. But thirdly and finally, let's ask the how question. How does this true contentment come to Christians? And we find the answer in verse 11 and 12, where Paul tells us that this contentment, this sufficiency to cope in the roller coaster of life, was something what? That he had, boys and girls, it's on your sheet, he had learned. Verse 11, he says, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Verse 12, he says, everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to abound. In other words, this contentment isn't something you're born with. It isn't something that just comes naturally. It isn't about temperament, so that some people have it and others don't. It's not something that comes overnight, so that you just go to sleep one day and wake up and ping, I'm contented. No, Paul says this is something he had learned. Something that had come over a process of time and through many experiences. And in fact, the word for learned, verse 12, implies a difficult process has been gone through. A bit like the endurance runner who only really learns what it means to endure and grows in endurance through doing the endurance race and is pushed to the limits and is strengthened and learns what it really means to endure. And that's what Paul is saying. He'd learned through the things he'd faced to be content. That fits with the context, doesn't it? It wasn't just that Paul says, I've learned how to be content, whether I've got lots or whether I've got little. No, he says it's through these varying times, through the ups and downs, that he'd really learned what it was to rest in the strength of Jesus. Going back to 2 Corinthians 12 and the thorn in the flesh, that must have been such a tough time for Paul, mustn't it? To have this big problem, to pray about it and be told by Jesus, I'm not going to take it away. And yet it was through that very circumstance that Paul learned something about the grace and the strength of Jesus. It was through that experience of weakness that he came to understand more deeply that it was actually when he was weak that he would rely on Christ and find strength in him. It was through the challenging experience that he learned what it was to really rely on Christ and to find his sufficiency and contentment in him. You see, when it comes to this Christian contentment Paul is speaking about here, we can talk about it, we can discuss it, we can hear sermons on it, we can read books about it, but actually it's only really in the nitty-gritty ups and downs of life that we truly come to understand and grow in it. That we really come to know what it means to rest and rely on Jesus and his promises, and to find our peace and our strength in his all-sufficient grace and power. And that means, of course, that all the things that you go through in life, including the incredibly tough things that some of you are having to go through in this most challenging of years, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, an uplifting thing or a humbling thing. These things aren't pointless things. Rather, these things are the school of God that he puts us through, that we really learn there what it means to rest and rely and to find our contentment and our sufficiency in Jesus Christ. Let me finish by telling you a true story from the life of Oliver Cromwell, who was the leader of this country back in the 1600s and was a Christian. And in May 1639, Oliver Cromwell's oldest son, who was called Robert, and boys and girls, this is on your sheet, he was just 17 at the time, he died. He died. And it was such a tragedy in the family. And the memory of that terrible grief stayed with Cromwell through the rest of his life. But 20 years later, tragedy struck again. This time it was his most loved daughter, Betty, who died. And once again, Cromwell was stricken with sadness and grief. But history tells us that after she died, Cromwell called for the Bible to be brought and to be given to him. And he read aloud from Philippians chapter 4, finishing with these words, "I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know both how to be debased and I know how to abound. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Cromwell then spoke to those around him and said, "That scripture once saved my life when my oldest son died, which went like a dagger to my heart." And then he read the verse again, "I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me." You see, when Cromwell's son died, Robert, he thought he was going to die of grief. It was a moment of deep blackness and despair in his life. And yet it was at that very moment that he came to experience something of the grace and the power and the sufficiency that there is in Jesus Christ, as Christ carried him through that time of loss. And what he learned then of Jesus would strengthen him and equip him to face other times of darkness and tragedy in his life. He learned through that most difficult of experiences what it means to rest on Christ. Through God's word and through experience, Cromwell came to learn that he could do all things and face all things and cope with all things through Christ, his strength. And as Christians then, as we face the ups and downs of life, and as we face the moments of great need and trial and weakness, we need to learn what it is to go to Jesus and to find our strength and sufficiency in him. And here's the wonderful thing. When you go to Jesus, you find one who understands you. You find a strong Savior who knows what it's like to be in weakness. You find a Savior from heaven who came to earth and learned what it is to live through the ups and the great downs of life. In verse 12, Paul tells us that he knew what it was to be abased. And the word abased there, humbled, is the same word used for Jesus back in chapter 2 and verse 8, where we're told that Jesus abased himself, humbled himself as he came from heaven and went to the cross to die to be our Savior. In verse 12, Paul says he knows what it's like to be hungry, but how much more Jesus knows the hunger of those 40 days in the wilderness as he took on Satan for us and overcame Satan. And we're told in Luke 4, verse 2, and he was hungry. Paul says in verse 12 that he suffered need, but no one suffered need like Jesus, who was stripped of friends and food and drink and justice and clothes and life and the smile of his Father as he died to be our Savior. You see, in Jesus Christ, boys and girls, are you ready for this final answer? We find one who knows what it's like to go from the highest up of heaven to the lowest down of Calvary, so that in him we might have a sympathetic high priest who we can go to for the forgiveness of our sins, and who we can go to and know that he understands us. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we need to cope. And he has the strength to carry us through. And it's as we learn to go to him then as Christians. Go to him day after day, need after need, challenge after challenge, responsibility that seems too big for us after responsibility that seems too big for us. And we go to him and ask him for his strength to be made perfect in our weakness. And we look to his sufficiency that we learn what it really means to rest on this promise and to say these words, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're going to sing our final song and then I'm going to pray a great song, O Church Arise. And it reminds us that when we're weak, that we know that in him we are strengthened and strong. So let's sing this final song, O Church Arise, and then I'll pray for us.